Good morning, everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin for this week's episode of Turning Towards Life, which is a third space project and which brings great joy to each of us to be in. Each week we find a source, as you might know, and we both read what each of us finds. We take it in turns to find a source that inspires us or leads to great confusion or requires a conversation between us, and then we have the conversation here, which is unscripted and unplanned, and it is a great adventure every week to do this. And this is our 70 somethingth episode, which means that we've done this every week for all that time, and it really has turned into a kind of, for want of a better word, like a church, a spiritual practice, something that we do to bring us home. And we now have over 800 people in this lovely group in support of this and in the inquiries that we're in as well through the sources. And it is a very, very wonderful thing. So if you're new, you're very, very welcome. And if you are a regular, you are obviously very, very welcome. And if you're listening at another time as well, some people listen live, some people play catch up, and there's all kinds of ways that people use these resources. So we're really, really happy to be here. And this week we've got a source that Justin's bringing. But before we get into the source, I wanted to say that my wonderful colleague Sue Braithwaite and I are running a two-day program called Coaching to Excellence on the 8th and 9th of April in Hammersmith. And we will post the details to be able to find out more about it in the comments beneath this video. But just to say that it's a two-day dive into the underpinning, philosophical underpinning and inquiry around what it is to work with people in a coaching way, in the coaching way that we work with in third space and as individuals in our own practice as well. So I wanted just to invite anybody who feels called to come and have a couple of days of deep respite, actually, probably, with Sue and I. We would love to have you there. And if you have any questions at all, you can reach out to me and or Sue, and you can message on through the Turning Towards Life space page as well. But we are very, very excited to be doing it together. The last one was wonderful. We had, I think it was like 8 or something people from Turning Towards Life that we did. And Justin, you had a couple from here as well when you did your last one in January. And it's just a very wonderful gathering and such a beautiful opportunity to actually meet each other in person rather than this thing where you can see us and we can't see you, which is a very particular strange thing. But it is a great joy for me anyway to meet anybody in person who has got to know us through this medium. And if you feel called to come, we'd love to be with you and to meet you in person as well. So we are going to crack on with this wonderful source that Justin has brought, which I've been reading over and over again because it feels like there's so much in it that I have to read it section by section and repeat the sections. And I noticed as well, I tried to find David White reading it himself online. And in that beautiful David White style, he does repeat sections. And I'm so glad when he does, because the bits that he repeats are like, oh God, yeah, you need to say that 4 times for me to even let that land almost. So I've been reading it again and again, and I'm very, very happy to be encountering this beautiful invitation that he's making.
Well, I'm very excited to be to be reading it, and we're going to read it twice, so that's good. We can do part of what David White does with his own poem. Yeah. But I want to just say this before we start, and maybe I was really appreciating your introduction, Lizzie, to everyone, to what we're doing, and I was wondering about how we might introduce this each week in a way that helps orient everyone and include people who are joining us for the first time. And I just found this from the website that we put together. So what we say about this is that Turning Towards Life is a weekly 30-minute deep dive into life's big questions from third space coaching. And then we also said this, that feels like I don't think we've ever read out. There are so many ways we go to sleep to life, turning away from our experiences and from one another. But right now, the world needs us to bring ourselves with as much courage and wisdom as we can, so we can respond to what's called for in life with its many uncertainties together. And I'm thinking maybe at least I will read this often at the start of our time together as a kind of reminder of why on earth we do this.
Mm.
You had wonderful things to say about it too. So here's this, I'm just calling it up now. I've wanted to bring this poem by David White for a very long time because it never fails to touch me and move me deeply. And I've also found in the last couple of weeks in some work I've been doing, both in my work coaching people, but also as convening and teaching and trying to think of good words for this, facilitating and inviting developmental communities of all different kinds, that this poem says many things, as you say, which really matter, that I think we really need to hear, and that we forget. So I think David White has done something extraordinary here, and it's called What to Remember When Waking, which is rather appropriate because of me only waking up a short time this morning before coming on this call. My middle son had a birthday party here in our house last night, and he's 16, and everyone was awake very late, which meant that I was awake very late. So it was rather a hurried waking. And we'll see how this poem speaks into that as well. What to remember when waking. In that first hardly noticed moment in which you wake, coming back to this life from the other, more secret, movable and frighteningly honest world where everything began, there is a small opening into the new day which closes the moment you begin your plans. What you can plan is too small for you to live. What you can live wholeheartedly will make plans enough for the vitality hidden in your sleep. To be human is to become visible while carrying what is hidden as a gift to others. To remember the other world in this world is to live in your true inheritance. You are not a troubled guest on this earth. You are not an accident amidst other accidents. You were invited from another and greater night than the one from which you have just emerged. Now, looking through the slanting light of the morning window toward the mountain presence of everything that can be, what urgency calls you to your one love? What shape waits in the seed of you to grow and spread its branches against a future sky? Is it waiting in the fertile sea, in the trees beyond the house, in the life you can imagine for yourself, in the open and lovely white page on the writing desk?
In that first hardly noticed moment in which you wake, coming back to this life from the other more secret, movable and frighteningly honest world where everything began, there is a small opening into the new day which closes the moment you begin your plans. What you can plan is too small for you to live. What you can live wholeheartedly will make plans enough for the vitality hidden in your sleep. To be human is to become visible whilst carrying what is hidden as a gift to others. To remember the other world in this world is to live in your true inheritance. You are not a trouble guest on this earth. You are not an accident amidst other accidents. You were invited from another and greater night than the one from which you have just emerged. Now, looking through the slanting light of the morning window toward the mountain presence of everything that can be, what urgency calls you to your one love? What shape waits in the seed of you to grow and spread its branches against a future sky? Is it waiting in the fertile sea, in the trees beyond the house, in the life you can imagine for yourself, in the open and lovely white page on the writing desk?
There are so many places to start in this, aren't there?
I know.
But the one that there are a couple of lines in this that when I hear them, and I think every time I hear them, something shifts and deepens in me, or tears come, something, a kind of recognition. And the one that's strongest, has the strongest impact on me this morning, as it often does, is, "You are not a troubled guest on this earth. You are not an accident among other accidents. You were invited." And I think it has particular resonance for me because, as I know I've spoken with you about Lizzie, but I think I've said a few times here since we've been doing this project, it's quite a familiar experience for me, and I suspect for many, many other people, that at the moment of waking, I wake up into a profound, easily wake up into a profound sense of dislocation and fear about, which is multidimensional. It's not very often about the world, and I think that there's good reason to be fearful about the world and many, many things that are happening in it. And I think there's good reason for other things too, but I wake in easily in the fear part. And I also often wake into, and I think this is something that David White really is getting beautifully, is there's also in the first moments of waking for me, very often a strong feeling of, I don't know why I'm here. I'm afraid, and I don't know why I'm here or what I'm up to or how anything makes sense or what I'm meant to do. And that can very easily, for me, spiral into a giant mega story about the hopelessness of everything, my part in having things be terrible, my insignificance, all of these, none of which are ways to live. They are such difficult things to live in the middle of. So then to be reminded of something else that feels so true when I hear it is, oh well, which I can see so strongly when I see other people. You're not an accident among other accidents. There is something profound and exquisite and necessary about the unique presence of each one of us that is here. And then when I hear that and feel that again, it's like I can participate and not be on the sidelines of life, mm-hmm. and not live caught in this story that I arrive into that I think also comes from, he says this lovely line, he says, just have to find it, because when we emerge from the other, more secret, movable and frighteningly honest world. In a way, I think what I'm reaching for here is, I think it's easy for me to wake up with a sense of the secret, movable and frighteningly honest world, and then to forget that I also have a place in this too, that being alive is a kind of home.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big part of what this is welcoming me back into, is life as home for us.
Yeah. And I think as a kind of a way that invitation is borne out, that this is a place for us, that we are invited from this greater night, is the way that David talks about this planning thing. And I can feel this invitation to consider that what our agenda is, almost, in terms of our, you know, I'd call like the little I, the small me, the frightened person, the plans that one can make is a whole different scenario to the planning that happens naturally when I live wholeheartedly into something. And in the invitation of being welcome here, and that there's a place for me, somehow the wholeheartedness becomes more possible, because if there isn't a place for me and I am an accident, I have to, in that narrative, I have to scrabble around and make things happen. And what I can plan for myself that David's saying is too small for me to live, if I don't feel welcome and if I feel like I'm just being slung around by life and I'm a victim of everything, that kind of narrowness that that brings to me is a really different thing than letting the way I'm living wholeheartedly naturally, step by step, pave the way into a plan that's not of my making, but a plan that's of something far deeper and far more significant from my being that unfolds as I step, rather than me trying to control. And I've been reflecting on the nature of surrender versus control in this poem. It's what it makes me really, really question, is the really big difference between when I'm trying to have things turn out the way I want them versus when I hand things over to this wholeheartedness, this greater night that leaves me as a willing, wholehearted participant in life and meeting what is as it comes, rather than trying to engineer everything so that everything's okay or everyone is okay. And I think that's the depth of the invitation to me. And I love that part that you've begun with as well. And weirdly, the bit that gets me is this, you know, what is the greater night? You know, for some reason, that line, I think, my gosh, is a greater night. What is that? And I think that's the beauty of this poetry, is that it's like it evokes things that I don't even know how to talk about. In the mountain of presence of everything, like, oh, it's just got such beauty in it. And even if I wasn't to think about it and just feel it, it feels like there's just so many kind of pointers inside of me that get hit as I read and go along with it.
I think we have to have language for the deep mystery of life. And I agree with you. I think that that's one of the things that's going on here. I was reading something else yesterday, and I think I can't remember who the writer was who said, you know, when you look at it, our lives, there's a different angle on the same thing. Our lives are like a plank suspended over an abyss. We don't know what holds us up. We don't know what we came from. We don't know what we go to. We know lots, increasingly in our culture, we know lots about the science of things, and we understand more and more. There's so much that we don't understand about the physical world that we live in and what makes it go. But the lived experience of our lives is so filled with mystery. I was talking with my daughter as I was putting her to bed couple of nights ago about, you know, that moment when you look in a mirror and are startled that there's this person there. And I don't know if you ever have this, but most of us can go, who's that? Who's that? Is that me? How can that be me? What? And then it quickly unfolds for me into, well, what is me anyway? And it's just mystery upon mystery upon mystery upon mystery. And I think that, like you say, this poem does a wonderful job of reminding us of that, that we came from, none of us were just always here, and none of us will just always be here, and none of this was always here. And I think, I had this thought as you were speaking, Lizzie, that a lot of our planning is an attempt to not have to feel and face the enormity of that question. And so that it's very easy for us to get diverted. And planning, is important and has its place. None of many big things could not happen if we didn't plan. But the distinction here between that what we can plan when we set out with planning as the primary activity, oh, I have to have a plan because then I'll feel okay, so let me plan, is way, way smaller than what calls to us when we, just to say exactly what the poem says, when we live wholeheartedly. And that's part of the response to the mystery, is to do everything we can to live wholeheartedly. And also, I got thinking whilst you were talking about to turn towards one another. Because as you were speaking, one of the things that came up for me was, oh, yes. All the ways in which I plan that actually have me be distant from myself and from other people. So when somebody I care about comes to speak to me, and in my mind I've caught up in the plans that I've made, and I make the move, I'm sorry, I don't have time to be in contact with you. Because I'm planning, I'm busy, I'm... All of that came up.
Mm.
And that maybe the only real response to the mystery of being on a plank suspended upon an abyss, or I've said, Nachman of Bratslav said this, being on a narrow bridge between who knows what and who knows what, or being in a world that we can't understand how we began, is to keep on doing the work of living wholeheartedly so we can meet life rather than skate over the surface of it.
Yeah, I'm just noticing that I feel very relaxed in the conversation. Like there's something about this topic that makes me go, I can just put everything down. And I just feel very grateful that that's a quality of what this is, of what turning towards life is. And I feel like there's a naming that happens here. And in the naming of things like the mystery, like the plank, like the Nachman of Bratslav,
he said,
somehow that makes me relax. And I go, oh, well, you know, if this is really bloody thin bridge, you know, then I don't know, there's like some way that when things are acknowledged, I feel really relieved. And so when I read this poem that David White so extraordinarily brings, it just, I don't know, brings a relief, oh, okay. And so I'm feeling really grateful for that. And I've also been having really wild dreams recently. And so this line of the other more secret, movable and frighteningly honest world is kind of relating to this dream thing that I've been in. And they haven't been frightening actually, but there's some, I get what the, you know, the frighteningly honestness of a dream is, because it's just what it is, isn't it? You're like, hold on, I'm sailing up the Thames with a huge big bedspread trying to catch the wind, and that seems like that's just honest, you know. And I have really, really kind of vivid dreams at the moment. And so the transition between them, those worlds, feels like a big, like I wake up and I'm kind of not sure where I am kind of feeling. And I think that's been the gift in the beginning of this poem for me, is this, the hardly noticed moment in which you wake. I've been like noticing the moment in which I wake and going, I actually don't know what anything is, who anybody is, what am I? And I think the gift of that contact with the other more secret, movable world is that it's a bit of a glitch in the matrix in a way, like it's an opening into a different kind of imaginal space that leaves me more capacity to question what on earth, you know, if that dream can happen, which is like so wild and out there that I haven't even got language for it. And on my mind is possible, whatever, I don't even know if it's my mind, what my being is possible, there's a possibility in it to be able to encounter that in some way through a dream, then what is all this? And so I feel like that opening of when you wake is a really powerful place in life that feels like, you know, in his Dark Materials, there's the subtle knife. It feels like this poem is kind of like a subtle knife, in that it seems to give me an opening into a different kind of world just by reading it. Beyond that layer that I can poke my head through and have a look, and maybe my body through sometimes, it just shows how small my narrative is for myself. And if I can use that moment in the morning to kind of question everything, and to ask the question that you and Maya are asking yourself, who am I anyway? What is going on here? It feels like in some way, a beautiful prerequisite to questioning myself and questioning the small plans that I make, and seeing if there's a deeper way of encountering something that leaves me with more possibility and more freedom inside myself.
I'm really, really struck by what you're saying, that's also echoed in the first few lines of this poem, which is making sense of something for me that's very helpful, which is in that first Harvey Notice moment, David White talks about where we wake from the dream world or whatever else it's been. There is a moment between waking and before our own narratives about ourselves, all the ways in which we're familiar with who I am and what I'm up to and how I relate to the world and how it looks, before all of that comes whooshing back in, there's a moment, just like you said so beautifully, where we don't know ourselves, where we're not subject in the same way to any of those stories. And the phenomenon I was talking about earlier on in our conversation, I think, where I wake up and I'm afraid, I can see it as we talk about it this way, that's very much, I wake up into this not knowing. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm up to. I don't know what I'm committed to. I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know anything. And that's easily frightening, and that for me, and that this is where so much of the rest of this poem is an invitation to step into that space in a different way. And then whoosh, 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 everything comes back. And I know increasingly in that moment, I have yesterday or the day before, I woke up in that disorientating not knowing. And one of the thoughts I had to myself was, well, if I just stay patient long enough, my familiarity with my life will come back and then I'll feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something lovely about that. Oh, now I know, I'm Justin and here's what I do. And, you know, here's my family and here's my work and here's what I'm up to and here's my community. But there's also to only come at it from that view, well, let me just wait until my familiarity sort of I get reclothed in my familiarity, is to miss exactly what you're talking about, which is that the familiar way in which we encounter the world can be so tiny compared to the vast something that we're in. And hence the call to living wholeheartedly, because that's part of the path to stay in contact with the mystery of it. And I took part some weeks, a couple of times, I've taken part in a process called a social dreaming matrix, which is where a group of people get together and talk about their dreams, and we essentially make connections between dreams. And one of the things that struck me both times that I've taken part in this is, first of all, is how wildly imaginative we can be. And second of all is how much dreams tell us about the nature of the world if we don't just take them, we don't try to reduce them to something literal or just dismiss them as weird stuff. As I hear other people's dreams and my own dreams, I learn so much, and the world deepens and broadens. And I think that this might be what the other line that we won't have time to dive into deeply, but which catches me every time, to be human is to become visible while carrying what is hidden as a gift to others. to remember the other world in this world is to live in your true inheritance.
So beautiful.
So I noticed also, Lizzie, that having brought that up, that we have reached the end of our time already. I have a feeling that this source is one that we could mine deeply. I've been wondering for a while how long it would take for something that we brought to come back a second time. And in fact, as we were reading this, I checked back, just check, have we read this? Because 73 weeks in, I think it is, 72, I realise I'm starting to lose track of what we've talked about and what we haven't. Unfortunately, we have ways to do this. So I know that we will come back to these themes again and again and again.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling, as I always do, very glad to do this and glad that we get joined by other people. And I want to say to everyone, thank you for being with us, whether you're watching on YouTube or joining us live on Facebook, and we will be back next week.
You certainly will. Thank you, everybody, for being with us.
Bye-bye.